And a good day to you, wherever you happen to be. Thank you for taking a little bit of time out of your, what I'm sure is a busy day, to join us here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you on EWTN Radio. I am Jerry Usher along with Debbie Giorgiani, and we appreciate you tuning in. And we think it's going to be a lively and, Debbie, I think an important conversation today. We try and cover all the bases on this show, so we're taking on a topic that I think is, you know, I put it on the calendars because, you know, you see so many news stories nowadays, especially about young people and kids, you know, in schools and so forth. And overweight, you know, obesity is a bit of a problem that is affecting a lot of individuals and families. So we're going to talk about that today.
And it big health concerns associated with it. So we're asking the question today, how has obesity affected your family? This is a very an important subject. It's a sensitive one. So please, you don't have to out any family members or talk about anything that is very private in your family. But it's an important topic that we discuss together, you know, in a very gentle way, in a beautiful way that we can walk away from this broadcast, like we always say, a little bit changed, we learn something, and hopefully we grow closer to God. So how has obesity affected your family? Please think about it for just a moment. You don't have to be Catholic to call in, and then dial this number. Matt Kabinski's waiting to answer your call. He is so sweet to talk to. Trust me, he really is. 833-288-3986. That's the number. We've got Michael McCall on social media, and of course, our wonderful producer Ace McKay is at the controls. So we really do need to hear from you, because without you, Jerry and I can go back and forth. We can share some statistics, things that are happening in the news, things we hear about, but it's not the same. When you share your experience, we learn, and that's how the mystical body of Christ, that's how we grow together. 833-288-3986.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, it is a very sensitive topic, and we do appreciate you considering calling in on this. Again, as Debbie said, you know, you can just give generalities if you want. Maybe you yourself have dealt with, you know, struggling to lose some weight at times, and maybe you have, you know, issues with sort of eating the wrong things or not getting enough exercise or what have you. And like I said, it's really, I think it's a growing problem, especially among young people, our kids, and there's a big push all the time among schools to kind of change the things that they're giving the kids, you know, take the soft drinks out of their diets and foods that cause, you know, weight gain and so forth. So if you would like to contribute to the show today, we would be very grateful about that. You can call 833-288-3986. And I was looking, Debbie, a little bit online about some information on the topic today. And the Mayo Clinic posts this. I just wanted to read this very quickly.
Please.
Here, because I think it's a good overview. It says, obesity is a complex disease involving an excessive amount of body fat. Obesity isn't just a cosmetic concern. It's a like you said, it's a medical problem that increases the risk of other diseases and health problems, such as heart disease, diabetes, high blood pressure, and certain cancers. It goes on to say, there are many reasons why some people have difficulty losing weight. Usually obesity results from inherited physiological and environmental factors combined with diet, physical activity, and exercise choices. And then finally, it says, the good news is that even modest weight loss can improve or prevent the health problems associated with obesity. A healthier diet, increased physical activity, and behavior changes can help you lose weight. And it mentions prescription medications and weight loss procedures are additional options for treating obesity. So again, that is our topic for today. Phone lines are wide open, 833-288-3986, 833-288-EWTN.
And so I want to share something because, you know, we're very transparent. What you see is what you get with Jerry and I, and we put everything out there, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Why? Because we're not going to ask you to do something that we're unwilling to do. And so Jerry and I made the decision almost 8 years ago that we were going to put everything out there because that's how we learn and grow together. So I want to share something about my personal journey that maybe some of you Take Two family members know or don't know, but it could could be, you know, it could apply to this topic today. But also, too, if you have had issues with this or you're battling certain things that you're really trying to, you know, get back to your fighting weight, your healthy weight, right? Maybe there's support groups or recovery groups or all sorts of things that you have joined or have read books or different organizations you have aligned with. Have they helped? Have they, you know, produced the results that you wanted? Maybe you had a doctor, take care of situation and it worked out really wonderfully well and you feel great. I know of a priest that went under a medical supervised program and it didn't go that great. He actually had some problems afterwards. And it was, you know, there's problems on both sides of this. And so let's talk about it. So the number to dial is 833-288-3986. And so, Jerry, let me share this. You know my story because you know me very well and you've known me for years. So I had thyroid cancer in 1994. And so because of that, I don't have a thyroid. So I function on, you know, the medication. People who have thyroid issues or have had this issue knows that you're on a medication. You depend on it for the thyroid hormone. Okay. And so typically my normal frame is very small. I'm a very petite frame. But currently I'm carrying probably 35 extra pounds because of they found another cancer, a brand new one, a couple years ago. And so I'm on a treatment plan and I'm on medication and there were steroids involved and all sorts of things. And everybody who's been on those knows you tend to just expand. And plus now I am working against the fact that I don't have a thyroid. So I have not been back to my healthy fighting weight in almost, Jerry, 4 years? Probably 4 years. It's very difficult on me. I had to buy a whole new set of clothes for something that I know that I'm not going to hopefully be in the rest of my life. But as the age gets there, you know, I'm 57 years old, Jerry, you know that. And it's not easy to get back into a tough, good shape, as you get older. So there could be medical reasons, and that's why I'm sharing. There could be medical reasons. I personally don't eat a lot of food. I just don't. I'm not a big eater. I do, you know, Italian food, I'll give you that. I could definitely, do that. But it's when you have a medical condition that's playing an underlying factor, it can be really tough, and people don't understand. The world doesn't understand, Jerry, because all they see is the image that is in front of them.
Right. Yeah, again, that's why we say, you know, there's a lot of reasons why people are overweight, maybe into a level of obesity, and we are getting some calls coming in already so far. We do have a couple phone lines still open if you want to share your personal experience, maybe family, friends. Maybe you've been victorious in overcoming excessive weight or obesity. Let us hear from you. Take two with Jerry and Debbie, and you. We invite you to be a part of the conversation today if you're comfortable doing so. Talking about obesity and the problem that it is for many people as individuals, families are impacted by this. A lot of success stories, though. In fact, you see a lot of the ads on TV nowadays are all of these weight loss programs. So it is in the consciousness of the United States, Americans, and people around the world. So call and share your take if you'd like, 833-288-3986. We'll start with Lee in a moment. I want to tell you, first of all, though, about Wings. It is EWTN's weekly e-newsletter. You can find out about EWTN radio and TV shows, items from EWTN religious catalog, and way, way more than we have time to let you know about right now. You can sign up for Wings at EWTN.com and click on subscribe, and then you'll be all set. Okay.
And, you know, I just want to share this because I'm a heavier version of my normal self. And I will tell you, I think the world can be very cruel. I notice people look at people differently. People make, you can kind of envision, you know, the cartoon bubbles in their, over their heads. And it's, I think the world can be very cruel at times. I really will tell you that. But I learned an interesting kind of something about myself that I never knew before, and that is that I'm much stronger in the interior than I thought I was. I don't need to have to be approved, you know, that somebody has to say, oh, everything, you know, looks perfect like some kind of Hollywood magazine or something, because we know those are all fake. We know those are all photoshopped and touched up, and that's not the real, when you were to see, like, even the famous people on TV and the reality TV, they go to great lengths to make sure that their photographs are retouched, because they would never put out the real version out there. But I think I learned a lot about myself going through it. And has anyone else experienced that? Because that would be interesting. But Jerry, before we get to Lee, I know Lee is first. Just share your quick story of what happened. Because when I was first diagnosed with this second cancer, I kind of got you on a health regimen. And you have to share what happened, because it's kind of funny, although at the time I didn't think it was funny.
Well, yeah, you and Marty is Debbie's husband, they invited me, challenged me, exhorted me to change my diet considerably. I was actually up to 204 pounds at one time, and I got this challenge from Debbie and Marty, so we were kind of emailing each day, like, hey, I lost a pound, I gained two, I lost three. You know, every day it's kind of a cyclical thing, you know, you go up a little bit, down a little bit, and I ended up getting probably way lighter than I should have been. I went from 204 to 151. I lost, and I was swimming too every day, and eating healthy. So I lost 53 pounds, and I was happened to be traveling somewhere. And so I got to the security checkpoint, and this lady, she looked down at my driver's license photo, and then she looks up at me, and then down at the picture, and then up at me. She goes, "You look different." And I said, "Uh-oh." And I said, "Well, I've lost 53 pounds." She goes, "Oh, congratulations. I've lost 60. And so we were best friends after that.
That's cool. Well, and when you shared that you lost that amount of weight, we were Marty and I were very happy for you. At that same time, the doctors had put me on a medication that actually caused me not to be able to lose weight, to do the opposite. So with that, I didn't send Jerry a Christmas card that year, just to let you know.
So okay. We'd love to have you join us. Got a couple of phone lines open. Several are occupied. Matt Gubensky screening your calls at 833-288-3986. How you address the issue of obesity, maybe as an individual, as a married couple, maybe your kids. Again, it's a sensitive topic. You can use your confirmation name or whatever. You don't have to give a lot of details. But what we want to have come out of this, as with every program, is we want to be hopeful. We want to come out of this with some very positive, hopeful thoughts and intentions. So 833-288-3986. And as promised, we'll go to Lee in Estes Park, Colorado. I've been there a couple times. It's beautiful, listening on Catholic Radio Network. Hi, Lee.
Hello.
Welcome.
I'm happy you done that.
Pardon me?
I was gone to a doctor that land in the wheelchair or walk, and I hit in my 60-some years of walking now. I'm 82 years old.
Wow. Well, God bless you.
And good job.
Since I've become a Catholic for 27 years, I finally got a brick in front of the Catholic Church.
Oh,
and
nice.
You can read it when you get up here.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us, are you comfortable telling us what you put on that brick, Lee?
I can't remember because I want you to read it.
And okay. Oh,
that's why I can't remember things anymore since I was in grade school. I can't remember a person's name.
Mm. Yeah. Well, you mentioned all of the walking that you've done. How has that, you know, benefited you? I mean, was there a weight issue with you that, you know, this has aided you in kind of overcoming that, Lee?
Yeah, I've been a little heavy, but I used to bicycle, and since after I couldn't bicycle anymore, kind of weight is coming up a little bit, but I'm trying to help.
Well, yeah. Well, Lee, you sound fantastic. And maybe, do you remember Jack LaLanne, okay, do you remember Jack LaLanne? He used to say, you got to keep moving, you got to keep moving, we're meant to move. And it sounds like with your 60 years of walking, Lee, that's exactly what he would say we all should do. And I think it's wonderful. I agree that we have to, constantly motivate ourselves to do more and to try and, be active as best we can, even if there's a walker involved or a wheelchair or something of that nature, we still should try to maintain that activity. I do agree with Jack LaLanne. He did a great job at kind of drilling that into all of us. What do you think, Lee?
That sounds good to me. Did you see, I said the other day, all my priests at here in town, 1944 until today, I got all the priests' names. It took me three months to do that. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I wouldn't been here. But I'm happy to keep on walking. And
Good deal.
Yeah, and Lee, you're pointing out something I really believe is very, very important. A person doesn't have to go on some radical, over-the-top, exercise program. There's a lot of things that can help. But, when I'm swimming, for example, nowadays, there are some days I'm not motivated at all. And I tell myself exactly what you said about Jack LaLanne, Debbie. I just tell myself, just keep moving. Means I walk a couple laps in the pool versus swimming, freestyle or backstroke or whatever, just keep on moving. And there are rewards when we, even take this little baby steps, which we talk about a lot on this show.
I totally agree. And if you've ever watched that movie, Nemo or Finding Nemo, remember Dory the fish said, just keep moving, just keep swimming, just keep swimming. It's the same thing, just keep moving. So Lee, thank you so much for gracing this conversation today. You are a beautiful soul. God bless you.
This is my third time to call you folks.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Aww. Oh, you're always welcome, Lee. Thank you so much.
What a
beautiful
soul. Yeah,
Estes Park, Colorado. Yeah, beautiful. Speaking of beautiful, so blessed to be able to live there. Go ahead.
Yeah. I want to just share something before we get to Les. I was talking about how the world can be really cruel. When I first was diagnosed a few years back in one of the medications, my spleen was many times its size. And because of that, it has, it expands kind of your middle. And I actually had a friend, she was being really kind about it. She goes, it's kind of interesting. You almost look pregnant. And it's a really, now I think that's a very great compliment if I was of age to have a child. And, I think it's beautiful. That's a beautiful thing. But it's not when you're past that age and somebody were to say that. And what I mean by that, she was not trying to be cruel. So if you're listening, you know who you are. I love you to pieces. She was not trying to be cruel. She was just saying, why don't you just make fun of it or just, say something. And, what am I supposed to say? My spleen is enlarged, So I started saying that. I actually went to events and started saying, hey, I just want to let you know I'm not pregnant or anything. But I tell you, it takes a lot. You have to really feel confident in yourself. And believe me, I've got a long way to go. I'm a work in progress, but you have to have confidence because people are looking at you and people are human nature. People make assessments and they do that. So I'm always a firm believer. Tell me what you think, Jerry, just putting it out there and saying what it is and just letting it be. And I think there's less of a chance of that. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, I think, as you mentioned, we're all works in progress, but, we have to be comfortable with who we are, comfortable in our own skin. And, when we have things like that, and you mentioned that comment that this person made, and she didn't intend anything, harmful about it, but, I think that's very beautiful, that you're able to just kind of lead with that and get that out there and not be, overcome by the whole situation.
Right. And it can take people down. Let me just tell you, you know, assessments about our weight, our height, our looks, it can take people down. Jerry and I are life coaches. We work with people all the time that their self-esteem issues, you know, and things, their confidence level are they're really hurt inside because of people, of what people have said to them, especially loved ones. So that's another reason that if you want a free consultation, you know, come visit us at standtalltoday.com. The life coaches are doing really good work there. Okay, as promised, Les is up next in Louisiana on Sirius XM 130. Hello, Les.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
Yeah, I just wanted to share, I'm a type 2 diabetic and obese. I'm 66 years old and recently retired this past June. I've been obese for probably, I don't know, maybe 7-8 years or so, and by weight, height, if you will, and not so much that I would suffer criticism for it, but I know that I was, and just really couldn't bring myself to do anything about it. And I was diagnosed as a type 2 diabetic about 5 or 6 years ago, and during that time, managed to control it with oral medication, and I was working at the time and trying to keep an eye on my diet somewhat. But once I retired, my eating discipline kind of went out the window, and my blood sugar rose to the point, my A1C rose to the point where the doctor said, this ain't good. And so he suggested a program which I'd never heard of, and that is a program in which they infuse insulin and over a 3-hour period. And I've been doing that for about a month now. And they start off doing that. You go to twice a week initially, and you infuse the insulin over a 2 to about 3-hour period. And it's supposed to reset your body, I guess, essentially, as far as handling insulin. Now, and as I said, I'd never heard of this before. I was a type 2 diabetic. I was not taking insulin, just oral medication. Mm-hmm. But the really beautiful thing, it's done at a what's called a diabetes relief clinic in Lafayette, Louisiana. And there's a host of nurses and physician assistants that work with you during that 3-hour session. And they talk to you about nutrition, about your overall health. They talk to you about eating habits. They have you start an eating log. Of course, start tracking your blood sugar if you're not doing that. And then talking about exercise and moving. Mm-hmm. And I've lost right at about 14 pounds now.
Wow.
And I can really see... And, of course, my blood sugar is starting to come down. So, and I never knew such a thing existed. And I had many encounters over the years, past years, with diabetics. And in my mind, I kept saying, I got to do something. But it was the old thing of going on diet or just not being able to manage it myself.
Kind of like that yo-yoing, right, Les?
Absolutely, exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so this is, I'm finding just wonderful. And wow. Of course, you got to agree to do what they're recommending you do.
Sure.
And so we wrestle back and forth with that. Mm-hmm. And what they're really good about is they look at your food log and say, okay, what could we have done better here with this?
Right,
now,
right.
To allow you to relate to my situation, I'm in South Louisiana, born and raised South Louisiana, and most people know we have wonderful food here.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not so good for you. And it usually includes rice, which is not so good for you, for a diabetic especially. And on top of that, my wonderful bride of 44 years here is a tremendous Cajun cook. So that makes it even more of a challenge.
Sure, sure.
And So well, I just wanted to share that.
Yeah, that's great. Well, Les, congratulations. That's amazing. You know, you threw out the number 14 pounds so far. But wait a minute, I'm gonna have to hold that thought because I gotta make a comment about this because we want to celebrate with you, Les. So if you can just hang on, you hear that music. When we come back, we'll pick up where we left off and we'll get to Doug and the others. And you can join us today. We're talking about obesity. 833-288-3986. Having a great conversation with Les in the great state of Louisiana, and he's sharing about his journey. And Les, thank you so much for being so comfortable and honest about your journey, like I was at the beginning of the show. I think it's important for others to see what we go through, what we walk through. Now, in your situation, Les, but hold on one second. Let me just give the phone number real quickly because we do have a couple open phone lines if you'd like to talk about maybe your weight loss journey or what you're struggling with. 833-288-3986. Please call us. Go quickly. But Les, I just wanted to say my situation, I am not pre-diabetic or diabetic. Mine's a medical condition associated with cancer and the treatment. So I come into a different set of circumstances. But what I loved what you said, I think applies to all of us who are, you know, kind of dealing with the emotional, physical, mental, you know, all the things that we're struggling with when it comes with a weight change, right? And Les, what you said was beautiful. You know, 14 pounds, as the weight comes off, and this is a medically supervised program that you're in, it sounds fantastic. I've never heard of it before. But you, obviously, as the weight is coming off, the energy increases. We know that, right? So as the energy increases, so does the mood and the feeling of wanting to interact more and to go out there more into the world and to be the best version of yourself. And that's the part that I would just love for our listeners to have as their takeaway. It doesn't, in my humble opinion, it doesn't matter to me if somebody loses 1 pound or 100 pounds. If you're gaining a little bit of energy so you can have more of an excitement to wake up in the morning and do stuff in the world and engage, that's what we're called to do as Christians, is really, engage in the world. What do you say to that, Les?
Yes, and just simple things. When you mentioned yo-yoing, and I've been doing that, but one of my measurements of whether I was losing any weight or not, and this is significant, just being able to tie my shoes and not have to hold my breath, you know? I can breathe while I'm tying my shoes. That's an accomplishment, you know? And it makes a difference in the morning when I'm getting ready. And the thing, as far as, you know, I come from a military, retired from the Army and still involved in military until I retired. And so I wasn't obese appearance-wise necessarily, though I knew I was. And being diabetic, not taking insulin, that's another cop-out I had, I guess you could say, in a sense. I don't know if cop-out's the right word, but since I wasn't injecting insulin, I was thinking, well, it's not that bad. But the thing I didn't realize and bring home is the damage is still being done because blood sugar is still high. It's just a different type of diabetes. And, this is, and another thing is, financial-wise, this program, I'm on Medicare, of course, being retired, is covered by Medicare. So it's not like I'm independently wealthy and can get this expensive program that most people can't. Sure. So this is available, and I wasn't aware of it at all.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I appreciate everything that you're sharing, Les, and Debbie, what you shared as well. And Les, it's obvious you've spent a lot of time and energy in order to understand this issue, and you're really coming at it from a very comprehensive approach. So, and I agree with what you see, being able to tie your shoes, you know, without holding your breath and so forth. As Debbie and you both have indicated, the self-confidence just grows with as you achieve even small victories. You know, and there are going to be setbacks along the way too, but I think the key is just to keep moving, keep going, stay committed to it, and try to, you know, get your wife to cook some healthy food.
Oh, I don't know.
I know.
Portion control. Portion control.
You're right. The food where you live is unbelievable. You're right.
Yeah. Oh, so true. Thanks for letting us celebrate with you, Les. Will you keep in touch with us?
Sure enough.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Great.
God bless
Thanks.
You. Good job. What a beautiful call. I want to just say something else too. I also had people tell me, even medical professionals, when I was on the steroids and all sorts of other medications, they said to me, Debbie, why are you burning yourself out at the gym, working out every day, doing everything? It's not going to matter. It's a perfect storm. It's not going to matter. And I read a book one time and it stuck with me. They said, whatever you do, don't just sit on the couch and let things overwhelm you. Do whatever you can do, even if you don't think it's going to produce any good results, because it's exactly what, Jerry, what you were just saying and what I was commenting about the movie Finding Nemo. Just keep going, keep swimming, keep walking, keep doing whatever you can do, because that energy builds. It you get that momentum and that motivation behind you, and it really does keep you going. And those of you who have stations around the country and we do your pledge drives, you will know that I do have a lot of energy and I'm not on anything that is a performance enhancing anything. It is really comes from the workouts I do. So that helps, you know, so CC can help in other areas, not just with weight loss. It can help mm-hmm. just having the stamina to get through things.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, we have that open phone line that Les was on. Our topic today is obesity, if you're living with it, if you've overcome it. How about family? I'd love to hear from parents. You know, maybe you're sort of paying special attention to what your kids are being served at school or what you serve at home. Maybe you engage or encourage your family members to be involved in, you know, exercise programs. Just, you know, keep moving. Just do walking or swimming, whatever. Please join us. Share your lived experience. That's how mm-hmm. we all learn and grow. 833-288-3986. And we will go to Doug next, listening on Sirius XM 130 in Holland, Michigan. Hello, Doug. So glad you called.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, welcome.
Your show hits a little more close to home today.
Okay.
Well. Mm-hmm. I've been overweight for pretty much most of my life. I'm 61 years old, and I think I can probably remember all the way back to sixth grade. But obesity is such a multifaceted area. Mm-hmm. I'm scheduled next month for bariatric surgery, and I've learned the last 2 months so much. But, you mentioned, like, some of the downfalls, and there's a lot of things that with my kids growing up that I couldn't do because I was overweight, or I couldn't and didn't have the stamina to go on the long walks or things like that. So, you know, obviously that's a downfall. But the biggest one was when I was 48, had a widowmaker heart attack. And
ooh.
I had that in the middle of a blizzard.
Wow.
And I got to the hospital. My wife got me to the hospital. And there was 2 feet of snow on the ground. I was snow blowing. Didn't have any of the traditional symptoms. All I had was my back was cold. And that was it. Got to the hospital. 2 feet on the ground. They couldn't get ambulance. I live in a smaller town. The larger hospital that dealt with heart issues at the time was 30 miles away. They couldn't get me there by ambulance, and the helicopters were not able to fly because of the blizzard, so they brought in the cardiac surgeon by four-wheel drive. So, by the gracious of God, I made it through that, but at that time, I was weighing about 360 pounds. All due to two of my boys, both are overweight. My son had bariatric surgery last year because he said he didn't want to see himself going through what I went through with the heart attack. Mm-hmm. And he had his a year ago, and he's lost 91 pounds.
Wow.
But the thing that I mentioned about with the bariatric surgery is I didn't realize it until I went, but before they'll even schedule you for surgery, before they'll even consider you a candidate or anything, you're required to go through a two-hour session with a psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize it until before, and I had several friends that had it, but there's a lot of issues that some people have, maybe way back in life when they're a child or somewhere in midlife. Some, he told me, most don't even realize that they have that, that they resorted to the food to deal with those particular issues. And I was really surprised at the numbers he gave me and how many people, that's, you know, why the diets don't work and things like that, because it was a psychological issue that the food was I don't want to say a comfort to, but it was the go-to.
A protection, Doug.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I didn't realize that. And it's like, yeah, now I know why all those diets don't work and things like that, because it's a little deeper issue than just being overweight. But just from the personal experience of the heart attack and all these things and the stents, and I find myself when I see a lot of overweight people, I take a few minutes now and I talk to them and say, hey, you know, I've been on that table. You don't want to be there.
Right.
But
right.
That was before I went on this bariatric surgery track, and now I realize that, you know, some of those people that I talk to maybe don't even know why they're overweight, or that's right. just not that simple.
And absolutely.
And of course, we all know the diets don't, you know, work for all, but I know when I first started the bariatric first appointment with a doctor, he told me my biggest killer was soda pop, and he showed me a picture of this big pile of sugar on a table, and that was just 1 2-liter bottle of pop, and I quit doing soda pop that day, and I lost 8 pounds in the first week and a half just by stopping soda pop. That was it.
Right.
Nothing
wow.
else. But
wow.
It's a little more complex issue than what most think. You know, a lot of people say, well, just watch what you're eating, or, you know, eat more salads or get more exercise. But no, sometimes it can be buried deeper than that. It mm-hmm. can be somewhere, you know, along the line. I know with a friend of mine, he had a father that favored his daughters more than him and didn't give him much worth. And he carried that through his life, and he got up to like 600 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
But then he had gone through the bariatric route, saw a psychologist, and then they developed a plan for that to change his mental aspect. And he got down to about 128 pounds.
Wow.
Which was super amazing. So sometimes you have to dig a little deeper.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Well, Doug, a couple things I just wanted to say. We put you in the prayer book for the surgery next month, so we'll be praying for you. So just know that you have a whole prayer warriors team around you. And you know, Doug, they call it the Widowmaker heart attack for a reason. And so there's a reason you're here. You made it through that. So you are very special to God, and you're very special to us. And I'm sure you're very special to your family and friends. And I just thank you for having the courage and feeling comfortable to share your journey with us, because you are spot on. Jerry and I, in the life coaching ministry we work with a lot of folks that have used food to heal and to medicate and to feel good and to protect themselves from the wounds that they've experienced in the world as a child or even as an adult from other people. And I kind of mentioned that a little bit. I don't know if you were talking to Matt Kabinsky and he was getting ready for you to come on air with us, but I had shared that the world can be very cruel. You know, people say things, you know, it's interesting. They make a joke of this, but it's so true. They say when a girlfriend tells another friend she looks heavy in this dress, it's not a big deal. But when a husband tells their wife they look heavy in the dress, it's a big deal. The wife takes it in and absorbs it and starts to believe it. And see, that's the power of words. And that's the power that we have with our experiences and how we interact with one another. And it can happen in childhood. It can happen in adulthood, but it affects us. And I agree with you, Doug. We have to be much more, you know, we have to go out there and want to talk about it and listen and to explore what somebody is going through, because it's not easy in this world. It's very difficult, especially when we're up against Hollywood that has everything airbrushed and we can't even stand a chance at it. What do you think, Doug, to that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, if it was as easy as a diet, there would be no obesity. I mean, you know, if the diet worked for everybody, that'd be all no problem. But yeah, it's just, you know, and I felt guilty after several years of, you know, talking to other, since my heart attack, I would just, you know, talking, I'd see a cashier at the grocery store and he'd be an overweight guy and I'd tell him my experience, you know, just to try to spark something into him. And then, you know, after I went through this journey with bariatric surgery and found out that, no, some of it's psychological too. And then I thought, gosh, I kind of felt guilty because that could be this person's issue. You know, I don't know that. So, you know, and I didn't know a lot of this before. I didn't even know it was my own case. So mm-hmm. It's part of the struggles. And the doctor told me, he said, yeah, he says, if most people would realize, most overweight, obese people would realize that it may be an issue that they have no clues even existing is why they're in that recycling mode, that, you know, they only knew that, then it would make a big change.
Yeah. No, learning these things, you know, getting in touch with those kinds of things can be very, very challenging to do. I think a lot of us don't ever really resolve some of these issues that we have, maybe from, you know, growing up, or like Debbie, you said, you know, the hurtful words and gestures that people do for us. And we turn to all kinds of things, you know, whether it's, you know, eating, or it could be, you know, working all the time, or, you know, alcohol, or any kinds of things like this. But you're a great inspiration to us, Doug. And
yes,
we are going to, as Debbie said, you're in our prayer book for the surgery. We would love to hear how that goes. Let us, you know, kind of sort of in a way walk this journey with you. If you're so inclined, you can always email take2@ewtn.com, because we really do feel a part of your life and a part of the lives of the Take Two family. So mm-hmm. He just dropped off there. So
yeah, he'll probably email us. That'd be great.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that, yeah, this is, you know, again, we want to come out of a conversation like this with hope, with mm-hmm. encouragement, with motivation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it all takes discipline. There's no question about that. And there are mm-hmm. going to be some days when you just don't, you dig as deep as you can and you're not going to find the will or the motivation to do it. But again, you just got to kind of get back on that horse the next day and keep moving.
Well, the only thing I could say is, having gone through, mine's a little bit different than you know, being a diabetic or something of that nature that you have to deal with. But I just wish people would have more of a genuine concern and ask the right questions, rather than just assuming they know the answers to things about people's lives. You know, I would prefer somebody saying, hey, you know, you look a little bit different than you did 5 years ago. Is everything okay? I mean, you know, mm-hmm. I would be happy to tell you. In fact, I'd probably tell you too much, you know, but you know what I'm saying? Rather than them walking away and saying, boy, something must have happened to Debbie. She looks very different from 5 years ago. You know, I just think I agree with Doug, you know, have that genuine concern and care for others. That's what we're called to do as Christians.
Another program I want to definitely draw your attention to before we go to back to the phones, Catholic Answers Live. It's weekdays, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time here on most of these same EWTN radio stations. The host, Cy Kellett, does a great job, and their apologists are world-class, top-notch, like Jimmy Akin and Jim Blackburn, who will be on today for an open 2 hours of open forum Q&A. Anything you want to ask today, Catholic Answers Live, 6 Eastern Time here on EWTN Radio.
And remember, folks, anything we struggle with, okay, we can get stronger. We can come out of it stronger. We don't have to give up. We don't have to get weaker. We can come out stronger. Always remember that. It's so important, because remember, the demons want us to give up. They want us to say, oh, you can't do this. It's a too big of a mountain to climb. It's never going to happen. No, we've got to keep going, keep moving, and do what we can. Ellen is up next in Maryland on Sirius XM 130. Hello, Ellen.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome. Thanks for calling.
Thank you for having me. I'm sort of in agreement with the gentleman who preceded me, because when I was a young mother in the 80s, I had tried all different kinds of diets. I had always been overweight, even in high school, and struggled up and down, yo-yoing. And a friend of mine told me, and I had tried some diet clubs, a friend of mine told me about a free place I could go, and I, oh, wow, I could do that. So it was called a 12-step program called Overeaters Anonymous. And by going to these 12-step meetings, I discovered that I was eating compulsively, and I was eating emotionally. And no matter what I did in the diet clubs or with starvation or whatever, the emotions would resurface. Someone explained to me an analogy like trying to keep a whole bunch of ping pong balls in a bathtub of water, underneath the water, and you know, just trying to push those ping pong balls down underneath the water. Once I discovered that I was eating emotionally and compulsively and working the 12 steps, which, by the way, was designed by a Catholic gentleman, I believe.
A priest, I think.
Yeah, I think.
Was involved in it, yeah.
Yes, and it's all scripturally based. So I lost about 25, 30 pounds, and I kept it off by working the 12 steps and realizing that it was emotions and compulsive overeating. I also discovered that I was addicted to certain foods, which I have avoided for the rest of those years. I avoid sugar and I avoid flour, wheat flour, and not to say that I'm, you know, strictly about it, because I'm not allergic to it that way, but if I avoid it, it doesn't trigger my compulsive eating. And I just wanted to share that. However, I have discovered since the 1980s till the present day, the Overeaters Anonymous program has kind of been watered down, because they have to, you can't say one day at a time, sweet Jesus, one day at a time. You can't say things like that. We used to say the Lord's Prayer at the end of the meeting. The whole group of about 25, 30 people used to say the Lord's Prayer together. Now you can't say it anymore. Just bringing that up for people to be aware that those unfortunate things are going on this day. But the 12 steps are always there. And I have discovered also that many, many, I don't know about young men, but many, many women who are in the 12-step Overeaters Anonymous have been abused in their past in one way or another. And they're using the food emotionally to build up an armor around their physical body. And thanks for letting me share.
Well, Ellen, thank you for sharing, because, again, I think every call on this episode of the show, like every day, but I think especially today, has been a home run call. So thank you for hitting one out of the park for us as well. And I have known several people who have been in various 12-step programs, and you're right, there is that spiritual component. It's not explicitly, you know, Christian or anything like that, but, you know, it is to try and get in touch with your higher power. And a mm-hmm. lot of people, you know, call that higher power God, and like you said, say the Lord's Prayer and all of that. So it's a little bit unfortunate to hear about that, but still, the things that the 12-step program helps you get in touch with and overcome and move forward, you know, with mm-hmm. confidence. And I think a lot of people have received, Debbie, great healing from 12-step programs, and it's Ellen's call is just mm-hmm. another example of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Ellen, great call. Thank you so much about the compulsive, emotional eating. Very important things we needed to hear today. Okay, you guys are doing great. We got the phone lines are lighting up, but we're running out of time. So let's move over to Karen in New Hampshire, Station of the Cross. Hello, Karen.
Hello. It's so good to talk to both of you today.
Thank you.
I wanted to tell you, I'm driving to Nashua, New Hampshire, where there's a meeting called Catholic in Recovery. It happens to be a 12-step program for addictions, compulsions, and unhealthy attachments. And my attachment is to food and to people. And what I'm finding in this group is what I can't find in the secular group, and what I can't find even in the Christian groups of the 12 steps. And that is, I'm finding God as I know him as a Catholic woman. And I'm also finding that I can use the sacraments to have a rebirth of myself in rediscovering the spiritual solution to my problem, which is that my identity is as a daughter of God, and that with trauma that I've experienced from my childhood into my early adulthood, that I have used food and people as a substitute for God. Mm-hmm. And what I'm finding in this program is that I'm finding healing and hope like I have never seen before. And I'm also finding that the way for me to rediscover and take hold of and identify as a child of God goes back to the beginning of time, which was God giving us in Genesis and birthing mm-hmm. the world.
And Karen, I'm just going to, forgive me for jumping in here. Thank you for bringing this to our attention. You hear the music. That's the closing music. But I wanted to give the website out for the movement that you're talking about, Catholic, singular, CatholicInRecovery.com. And Karen, what you shared is so beautiful because you take the success that many people find in the 12-step program, you add the sacraments to that. That's like supercharging, you know, the recovery process and program for a lot of people. So Karen, thank you so much. I wish we had more time to hear from you about this. Dell in Florida, we are just simply out of time. I apologize for that. But Debbie, what a, I think, an impactful discussion today.
Oh, and we just, again, want to thank everyone that called in. You guys, we just felt you were Holy Spirit prompted. This was just perfect. You did a great job. Tomorrow we're talking about, are you bored with life? Let's talk about that tomorrow and see if we can learn and grow together. Until then, have a beautiful and blessed day. St. Joseph, please pray for us.